September 8th, 2021, 6:22 p.m. A man named Colin Turner became trapped inside his own garage. He had his phone. He called 911. His voice was steady as he explained to the dispatcher exactly what was happening.
Sheriff's Office emergency.
Hi, you guys have been out to my house twice today, and then most recently the deputy talked my wife into letting me in the house, and then she locked me in the garage and tried to break my arm when I was trying to get back inside. She's currently got me locked in the garage because earlier she broke both of the big doors, and then when I came out here to fix it after getting in the house earlier, she locked the door behind me.
That call lasted less than 90 seconds. What happened inside that garage is what this entire case came down to. But before we get to that, you need to know who was inside that house and everything that led to that moment. Colin James Turner was 34 years old. He had served 14 years in the United States Marine Corps as a gunnery sergeant in Explosive Ordnance Disposal, the specialized unit responsible for finding and neutralizing bombs in combat zones. He had deployed multiple times, led men under pressure, and earned commendations for his service. Then, a traumatic brain injury during training forced him into medical retirement. His rating from the Department of Veterans Affairs came back at 100%. For a veteran with a spouse and two young children, that designation meant roughly $3,700 a month in tax-free federal compensation. Stable. Guaranteed. For life. Colin became the stay-at-home parent for his and Bree's two youngest children. JP was 4, Lainey was 3. Military life had kept him away from his family for years. Now he was trying to make up for that lost time. By the fall of 2021, he had been accepted into Johns Hopkins University's master's program in electrical engineering, one of the most competitive graduate programs in the country. Bree Kristen Kuhn was 37. She joined the Navy in 2012 after graduating from East Mississippi Community College. 17 years in uniform. Chief Petty Officer, a rank earned through years of performance evaluations, selection boards, and command trust. Stationed at Naval Air Station Pensacola, she managed and trained junior sailors. She held a security clearance and had real authority over the people under her command. As an E-7 with 17 years of service, her base pay was roughly $5,100 a month. Her housing allowance for dependents in the Pensacola area added another $1,800. Combined with Colin's VA benefit, the household was bringing in roughly $10,000 a month. A co-owned home in Gulf Breeze. Good schools, safe streets. By most measures, it looked like a stable foundation. They met at Pensacola. Both have children from previous relationships. They married. They built something together. But by September 2021, that life was coming apart. From Bree's version of events, the marriage had been broken for a long time. She claims that Colin's brain injury had changed him, made him volatile, dangerous, that she had been living with that fear for years. But the record told a different story before September 8th even began. In the months leading up to that day, Bree had been placed on limited duty status at Naval Air Station Pensacola. Her command confirmed the designation was connected to mental health struggles. She had also gone through a serious mental health crisis earlier that year, something Colin had already mentioned to law enforcement during the first visit to the house that day. Keep that in mind. On that Wednesday morning, Bree did not report for duty. By noon, the tension inside Jenks Drive home had reached a breaking point. Colin wanted to take JP and Lainey to stay with his parents in Georgia. Bree refused. At 12:53 p.m., Bree called 911 first.
Sheriff's Office, emergency. Hi, can I have a police officer come to my address? 6184.
Okay, what's going on?
My husband pushed me up against the wall and threw me on the floor.
Okay. Does anyone have any weapons?
No, there's guns in the house.
And what's your first and last name?
Bree Kuhn. I don't want him to take my daughter.
Okay, give me one moment so I can have my deputies on the way, okay? Don't hang up.
Deputies arrived within minutes. They found Colin outside the house, waiting for them.
Just want you down. She's got a shotgun and her pistol in the bedroom with her.
Okay.
And my pistol is on the dashboard of my truck.
Okay.
And they're all pretty for you.
Man, you stay out here, man.
I'm just opening. There's a little dog running around.
Okay.
Go all the way to the wall and then turn right.
Her name's Bree?
Her name's Bree. She's got both kids in there with her.
Okay. Hey, Miss Bree?
Yeah?
Hey, I'm Deputy Hartbarger.
Yeah.
Did you call us?
Yes.
What are you doing? What are you doing? What's going on today, ma'am?
So my husband is trying to take the kids.
What's up, big guy?
He threw me on the floor and pushed me against the wall.
And this all happened today?
Yes, it happened today. We've been having issues over since the weekend.
What are the issues about?
Just typical relationship stuff.
Are you guys married?
Yeah, we're married, but his go-to is to use the kids against me.
So he's trying to take
them to Georgia. And I don't want him to go.
What's that?
I don't want him. I don't want him taking them against. I have appointments with attorneys. I don't want him in the house. He raped me over the weekend. I just want
you guys. You got any marks anywhere?
Ten four.
Thank you. You mind if we look and check? I mean, because if you got any marks anywhere, I mean, you got any bruises or anything?
No, bruises today. Except he just pushed me up against this doorway and threw me down on the bathroom floor.
You don't have any redness anywhere?
No
scratch marks. I'm gonna say because I need something, you know, because if they're to prove a battery, I mean, anybody can say anything. But if you had some marks or, you know, some video or there was a third party witness.
When nobody can see it.
The problem is I got to be able to prove it. That's why I'm asking if you got marks or bruises or anything. Okay. Anyway, I need something else.
So next time I'll just make sure that he punches me in the face.
That's not what I'm saying at all. But I mean, it doesn't matter what you or I know. If I can't prove it, it doesn't go anywhere in court.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does.
There was no physical evidence of an altercation, no visible injuries, no sign that anyone inside the house had been hurt. So the deputies cleared the scene and left. 2 minutes later, Colin sent a text message to Hardy Joyner, the biological father of Bree's older daughter, Kylie. "Hey man, Bree's losing it. She ran my laptop through the dishwasher last night because I turned the Wi-Fi off. I'm planning on getting out of here with the little kids, but she's already told me she'll press charges if I take Kylie with me. I don't know what you can do legally, but I wanted to give you a heads up." Keep that text in mind, because it would matter later. By 5 p.m., Bree locked him out of his own home. He had been standing in the driveway for hours. This time, he was the one who called 911.
My wife has locked all the doors and said I'm not allowed to come in. So I'm outside with my daughter screaming that she wants to go inside and I can't.
Okay, what's your...
Yeah, y'all have already been out here once today.
Yeah, and you said that now your wife is not allowing you to come outside?
Come inside, yeah.
Come inside the home?
Yeah.
Okay. Isn't there like another child's home as well?
Yeah, my four-year-old's inside. She said he's napping, and my 12-year-old stepdaughter is inside.
Officers returned to Jenks Drive. They found Turner in the driveway, his daughter in his arms.
Hello.
Are you here?
Yes, sir. Indeed. What can I do for you? I'm Deputy Lynn Winston. Can I share something?
My wife won't let me in my house.
Okay, is this wife?
Yep.
Okay, can I talk to you over here?
Can I have my daughter, please?
Hey, can I just have you wait right there for just one moment, okay? All right, so what's going on today, sir?
She's got mental health stuff going on. I was trying to leave for Georgia to get a break from her, for me and the kids, earlier today. And then she called you guys. Took my photo ID, all my access to money and everything.
Okay.
And then took the kids inside and locked me out. So they locked outside in my driveway.
Okay.
For the last couple hours.
You live here?
What's that?
Do you live here?
Yeah, we're co-owners. We both.
Okay.
So I've been on the phone with family advocacy through the Navy and all that today. So I haven't cared that I'm the outside.
Okay.
Until she came outside with my daughter on the porch.
Okay.
Screaming. So I came over and she gave my daughter to me.
The responding officer immediately confirmed that as a co-owner of the property, Colin had every legal right to go inside his own home.
And that's kind of like the last straw.
Are you guys still married?
I mean, for now, yeah.
It's still legal and it's Colin's property?
Yeah.
What's yours is hers and hers is yours, unfortunately.
Yeah, so she's not allowed to stop me from entering my house?
If it's your house and you still live here, by all means, you got to enter your home however you got to enter your home. Makes sense?
Yeah, so she's allowed to change the locks, and I'm allowed to break a window, is that what you're saying?
I'm not telling you to break a window. If you want to tear it, I mean, it's your property.
The officer then went ahead to speak to Bree. It is at this point that it is discovered Bree had been placed on limited duty, as earlier revealed. She seemed upset that Turner had gotten in touch with her commanding officer.
He had been in contact. Well, he had been in contact with my command.
Okay.
So, he said that there's allegations of emotional abuse.
Okay.
So obviously I don't want him in there.
Okay.
You know, him and I arguing in front of the kids, so okay. I let him out.
I don't know if you overheard what I told him. It's his house too, right? He lives here too?
So
we can't lock each other out of the house. I mean, if we do, he's got every right to enter the house, however he's got to enter the house.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, all right. And same thing, if you change the locks, he's got every right to get in the house, however he's got to get in the house, okay?
Okay.
If he lives here, he's got property here. For the betterment of your daughter, whatever you guys got going on, you got to put aside for the kids. You see what
I'm
saying?
Well, I agree, but he told me not to talk to him.
So okay.
I'm not going to let him in the house if he's going to come in and start,
okay.
start arguing.
But at the same time, that's leaving the child. I mean, that's kind of... leaving the child
right,
out here to fend for herself. Does that make sense?
In. Yeah, for sure. But
okay.
I don't want him to do that.
Okay. But, I mean, I can't stop him from going inside the house.
Oh, that's fine. I just wanted him to me so that she's not out here.
Okay.
They said earlier that since nobody, I didn't have any bruises.
Okay.
There was nobody to witness.
Right.
Him getting physical with me.
The officers left again after it appeared they had managed to calm things down between the couple. Less than 2 hours later, Colin was back inside the house. Then Bree locked him in the garage, and at 6:22 p.m., he made that one final call.
Sheriff's Office emergency.
Hi, you guys have been out to my house twice today, and then most recently, the deputy talked my wife into letting me in the house, and then she locked me in the garage and tried to break my arm when I was trying to get back inside. She's currently got me locked in the garage because earlier she broke both of the big doors, and then when I came out here to fix it after getting in the house earlier, she locked the door behind me.
He was still on the call when the door behind him opened.
And when I tried to...
What was that?
You just shot me.
I'm shooting somebody's driving. She just shot him. I just heard 4 shots. Sir, are you there? Sir, are you there? He's not answering.
Deputies arrived just 4 minutes later.
Can we open this?
It was already too late. Colin Turner was dead on the garage floor.
I don't know who he is, but he's in the garage. 3 in the chest, or looks like 3 in the chest. Might be 2. They said they heard 4 gunshots, though.
Every bullet entered through his back. His phone was still in his hand, still connected to the dispatcher. Bree was outside the house. The body camera was already recording. And before detectives had the chance to ask a single question, she started talking.
He's dead. I saw my friend help the news desk.
Okay, well, let's not talk about that right now, okay?
My kids don't have a dad or a mom. Call. You got it?
All right. For right now... we're just going to do this for right now, okay?
You're saving 4 hours, okay?
No, just get a rest. That was my husband.
Remember that text message Colin sent to Hardy Joyner just 2 minutes after the first 911 call? The prosecution had that message, and we will come back to what it helped prove. Because what the medical examiner found in that garage would change everything. 4 gunshot wounds, all entered through his back, all exited through his chest. He had been shot from behind. He was not facing Bree when the shots were fired. He was not advancing toward her. He was not reaching for a weapon. His own firearm was still holstered inside his truck when officers arrived. Colin was seated on a small cooler near the back of the garage with his back to the door while his phone was still connected to the dispatcher. Self-defense requires an immediate threat. Someone is facing you. Someone is moving toward you. Someone is putting you in danger at that moment. That is not what the evidence showed. And that physical evidence became the backbone of the prosecution's entire case. The medical examiner was clear.
Any doubt in your mind whatsoever, the wounds in Mr. Turner's back are entrance wounds.
I have no doubt whatsoever.
That is the moment the self-defense argument began to collapse. And then came what she said at the station. At the station that night, detectives gave Bree the chance to explain what happened.
I called the first time. He was threatening to take the kids.
Okay.
He said that since I have tried to kill myself a couple months ago, that no judge in the world would give me custody of children.
Instead of giving them the clear answers they were looking for, Bree kept holding back. And as the questions became harder to avoid, she suddenly asked to stop the interview.
I don't want to answer any more questions. I have to talk to my dad.
Before we let you call your dad, can we give you just a little bit of information so you understand how important it is that we get your statement? where he was on the phone with 911 when this happened. Okay, so we have an audio recording of when this happened and what was going on. Okay, right now that's the main information that we have is what's on that recording.
I just want to talk to
you. That's why we're asking you, and need to be you, to be really clear about what was going on the other side of that recording.
I told you.
So what was he doing? You said something about him. You thought he was going to kill you. You thought he was going to kill you. What made you think that?
Hey, there's something to my dad.
I know. The only thing that we have on that recording is your husband talking to our dispatch saying that you locked him in the garage. Your husband is calm. Okay. And then the second later, the door opens. One shot goes off. He tells our dispatch, she just shot me. About 5 more seconds go by, and 3 more shots go off. Okay, that is very important information, but we can only see so much of it.
It was me.
What was you?
I shot him. I told you.
What was he doing? You said he made you do this.
Got him towards me. No. I didn't say that, and I don't want to answer any more questions. I want to talk to my dad.
She was allowed to call her dad, who immediately sensed that something was wrong. He knew his daughter had committed a crime and only wanted to understand if she had been threatened by Turner.
Hello?
Daddy.
Hey. Where are you?
I'm in an office. Daddy.
You're at the police?
Yeah.
You're at the police station?
Yeah.
All right.
I killed Colin.
I know you did. I know you did. I'm just trying to figure out why. Is he threatening you or? The kids okay?
No, they don't. Their dad is dead. And I belong in jail. I'm sure I'm going to jail.
So are you in now, or are you being allowed? Is this a phone call you're allowed?
Yeah, I said I could call you.
Well, obviously it's early. We haven't figured out what the course of action is, but are you going to need a lawyer, or are you going to plead? Well, anyway, I'll ask you this later.
I don't know.
I get it. Well, you're not going to know. I mean, this is a job.
We had such a good weekend. He's my best friend.
Hold on, speak clearly.
We had such a good weekend. He's my best friend.
Karen said you guys had a great weekend, but for some reason, Colin started this thing last night with you. I mean, you obviously didn't put his computer in the dishwasher. We're clear on that, right?
He's dead.
Bree Kuhn was formally arrested that night and held without bond until her trial. But what made this case so complicated was the tug of war over her military record. Her status as a high-ranking naval officer became the central battlefield of the trial, with both the defense and prosecution twisting her rank to fit their own versions of the truth. Bree was not someone who simply snapped. She was trained under pressure. She knew how to think clearly in chaos. She had authority, discipline, and control. In their eyes, that made her dangerous, not desperate. The defense saw something else entirely. They argued that years of military life, personal pressure, and mental health struggles had worn her down in ways people around her failed to understand. What looked like control was actually the final stage of someone who had been quietly breaking for a long time. Two different versions of the same woman. And the jury had to decide which one was real. Bree's medical records show that she had been treated for ADHD and anxiety, and that she had suffered serious mental health struggles. But remember Colin's text message to Hardy Joyner, sent just 2 minutes after the first 911 call. The prosecution brought it back in front of the jury at the exact moment it mattered most. The defense had filed a formal notice in June 2024 of their intent to use battered spouse syndrome. Dr. Julie Harper, a psychiatric expert, was prepared to testify. The entire defense strategy depended on Bree taking the stand and telling the jury, in her own voice, what she claimed had been happening inside that marriage. And that is where everything changed. The trial began on September 23, 2024, in Santa Rosa County before Circuit Judge James Duncan. 3 years had passed since the shooting. JP and Lainey were now 6 and 7 years old enough to carry pieces of what they had seen and heard. Defense attorney James Barnes described a decade of domestic abuse and told jurors that Bree had been living in a war zone long before September 8th.
You're going to hear testimony from her about what this man did to her. You need to know this, and you're going to find out during this case, is that he was 100% disabled. He didn't retire from the service. He quit. He had a traumatic brain injury. He had issues with his brain. You're going to hear Bree say, you're unstable. You're a danger to the kids. This is on tape. She's saying this. So we're not talking about a normal person here. And this is the dynamics that was happening there. He didn't do anything. He was supposed to be at home studying. All he did is stay in his room all the time. These kids were running out there by themselves. You'll hear testimony from Bree. They weren't clothed properly. They weren't fed properly. The house was a wreck. This guy was in his room in his own little world the entire time. This woman was out. You're going to hear testimony. She would work from like 7 o'clock in the morning sometimes till 1 o'clock in the morning the next day to try to make ends meet. He wasn't doing a squat. She was the breadwinner, and all she got from him was abuse. Mental abuse, physical abuse. She got repeatedly. They were stationed in North Carolina. She was up there when she was up there. And when they got back here to Florida, she got again. And that's going to come into play when you hear from Dr. Harper. What people do after repeated abuse over and over and over again. And when she tried to call law enforcement to help, they didn't do anything.
Then the defense called its only witness, Eric Kuhn, Bree's older brother.
What are you hearing during that time?
In my sister's voice, utter fear. And then I heard a lot of discourse, calling, screaming, things being hit. At one point, he was on the phone with the police, I believe, trying to tell them that my sister was doing something, and she was on the phone with me.
Did you ever hear Colin make any threats or, you know, raise his voice or anything of that nature?
Did hear his voice raised a few times, yes, and I did hear at some point children crying.
Were you aware of a point in time when Bree got a gun? Were you aware of that?
I don't believe that. Yeah, I believe she grabbed the gun, and I said, just get out of the house, get out of the house, and she said they kill the kid. She couldn't.
And was there a point in time where you heard, like, did she say, you know, oh, he's hurting me, or he kicked me, or...
Oh, yes, I heard slamming. She did say that. She was even telling him, why are you doing this? And then she screamed that, ow, and at another point, the phone fell to the ground, and I heard a scuffle.
Did you hear your sister say, you're not taking the fucking kids?
She said, you're not taking them, and she said, you're not killing them.
Okay. Then she gets the gun, correct?
I would believe so, yes, sir.
Then Alderman stood up for cross-examination, and the defense began to come apart. His explanation for 2024, a technical failure. The video platform had crashed at the exact moment he mentioned the gun. Everything else in the deposition came through fine. Just that part was lost. The only gap in two separate sessions, 3 years apart, was the one piece of information that would have supported the central element of the defense. It was either a coincidence or Eric Kuhn was not telling the truth. The prosecution knew this, so they pressed him on the specificity of that technical failure.
So after they ask you to tell them everything that happened, and Mr. Barnes tells you to walk through the whole thing, did you describe to the police what you're now describing to this jury?
I guess it's a shame I'm not one for redundancy. I know they knew it because I did tell them whether or not it was when they filmed or not. If it's not in here, it wasn't when I was filmed.
Okay. Well, when Mr. Barnes tell you walk them through the entire thing, what do you think that means? Do you remember what point you said that?
No, sir. Like, this was 3 years ago. It was quite some time, and like I said, they were there for...
Well, let me ask you, is it difficult to remember the interview you gave 3 years ago?
Not the interview, the specifics of questions asked and answered on and off camera.
Okay. The specifics can be difficult 3 years later, can't they?
I just don't know when they turned the camera on.
Okay, so you think you may have told that them before about telling them that...
We had a long conversation. I'm not sure the exact time, sir.
Okay. But again, you didn't say it after Mr. Barnes told you walk us through the whole thing. You didn't tell them that, did you?
If it's not in here, no, sir.
Instead of reinforcing the battered spouse claim, the brother's testimony handed the prosecution a free argument on credibility. After cross-examination, the defense spent nearly an hour in private conference with Bree. The judge and jury waited. Then Barnes made the announcement. Bree would not testify. That was the moment the entire structure collapsed. Without Bree on the stand, Dr. Julie Harper could not testify. Her expert opinion on battered spouse syndrome was built entirely on what Bree reported experiencing. No defendant account meant no foundation for the expert. The psychiatric defense, prepared over 3 years and filed formally in June 2024, never reached the jury in any meaningful form. The defense rested. One witness, no defendant, no expert, no account of the alleged abuse. Closing arguments came September 26, 2024. Alderman asked the jury one question. Why did she go to the garage door with a gun?
Luckily, Colin called 911. Unfortunately, Colin did not call 911 in time to save his own life. But him calling 911 hopefully will ensure that his murderer does not get away with it. But she didn't know all that.
Why did you have the gun when you went to the garage door? Do you know?
I just wanted to go.
Detective Rell asked you, why did you go to the door with the gun? The answer is because she wanted to kill her husband. That's clear. She tells him, I just wanted to go. He's locked outside, or in the house. Okay, that's the opposite of I just wanted to go. That's, I'm gonna go kill my husband. But she is sitting there saying, I just wanted to go. This is what she's telling the police. No, she had plenty of options. Now again, she doesn't have a duty to retreat. She's not legally obligated to leave the house. But she's saying, I just wanted to go. No, you just wanted to go kill your husband. That's what she wanted.
Barnes made one final plea. He reminded the jury of Bree's 17 years in uniform, her role as a mother, her medical records, her documented mental health struggles. He asked them not to look at that moment in the garage by itself, but to consider the life, pressure, and pain that had come before it. But there was still nothing from Bree herself. No testimony, no direct account of the abuse she claimed she had suffered, only the evidence left behind. The jury deliberated for 4 hours. On September 27th, 2024, they returned with a verdict.
Members of the jury, my understanding is you have reached a verdict. Is that correct? Okay, if you'll hand the verdict form to court security. Madam Clerk, if you will publish the verdict.
State of Florida, first degree, Kristen Kuhn, case number 21CF1301, verdict. We, the jury, finds as follows as to the offense charged in the indictment. Guilty of first degree premeditated murder as charged. So say we all, this 27th day of September, 2024.
Under Florida law, a first degree murder conviction carries a mandatory sentence, life or death. The state had not sought the death penalty. Colin's mother, Terry, read from a statement she said she never imagined having to write.
The greatest impact has been watching how this loss has impacted Colin's younger children, John, JP, and Lainey. We have custody of them and expect to raise them for the rest of our lives. It's been 3 years, and they're still fearful that we will die and leave them once again without parents. They worry that if we bicker, one of us may kill the other. They still ask if we have guns in the house, though they know the answer is no. No matter how many times we remind them that killing a loved one is very rare, their reality tells them differently.
After the statement, Bree chose to remain silent at sentencing. Her family also chose not to speak.
Having been found guilty of first-degree premeditated murder, the court imposes the following sentence. I'm going to adjudicate her guilty, sentence her to life in prison. There will be $518 in mandatory court costs, a $210 fine, for a total of $728. She will get credit for all time served. That's the judgment and sentence of the court. She has 30 days in which she can appeal. If she cannot afford an attorney, one will be appointed for her. Anything else from any of the attorneys?
Not from the state, Judge.
Not by the
state, Judge. Okay. Court is adjourned.
Following her conviction, Naval Air Station Pensacola issued Bree Kuhn a general discharge. 17 years of service ended through administrative action, not a court-martial. In October 2024, Kuhn filed an appeal with the Florida First District Court of Appeal, arguing ineffective assistance of counsel and errors in the trial proceedings. As of now, no ruling has been issued. Colin Turner's two youngest children, JP and Lainey, now live with his parents. His older stepdaughter lives with her biological father, Hardy Joyner. But whatever happens with the appeal, the 911 recording remains part of the official record. The jury heard it before reaching their verdict, and it remains one of the clearest pieces of evidence from that night.